It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Bengal Show presented by the Riverfront. I am your host, Joe Farsing. Alongside me is my good friend, and I hope yours, Tim Daniel from Late Night Reds. Tim, how are we doing this weekend?
Well, my daughter got baptized today, so that's the only good news I got. Well, Joe, I will say that I was a Sam Hartman 4th and 13th scramble away from disowning football for the rest of the year.
You had a better weekend than I did. I mean, my Bearcats loss, which is a negative for me, and a positive for
you.
You
had to stay up late to watch it.
Oh, God, no. Absolutely not. I couldn't even, for some reason, ESPN wouldn't play it. I couldn't even get it to play on ESPN. I have borrowed credentials for ESPN. I've got ESPN Plus. The game was only available on ESPN, and the credentials weren't working. So I watched the first half, just tracking it on my phone, and then it's going on midnight. No, I'm out.
Yeah,
so
I'm with you.
Luckily, I didn't end up watching it. It would have made me throw stuff at 1 o'clock in the morning, and my wife would have been pissed at me. Hey, also, real quickly, today's my wife's 18th anniversary, so
congrats.
Thank you. That's the only positive. I mean, granted, in a grander scheme of things, much, much bigger, much more important thing.
Yeah.
Happy, you know, I'm extremely happy with, you know, my life and everything, but in a smaller, less important thing, this weekend sucked for sports. Michael, thank you very much. I appreciate it. It was the best decision of my life to marry her. My wife, she's not here to say what kind of a decision it was for her, but
well, you're doing something right if she's still there. So
exactly. I keep saying she married me for my money, and she's just waiting for it to appear. So
yeah, same.
For those that are here, we've got a few people on. If you haven't, please subscribe already. YouTube.com/RiverfrontCincy. With all of the fun hubbub of this game, I have not actually picked a winner yet. I will do that. I will have that. Tell you what, I'm going to be on with Tim tonight. So I will do that in between my show and his and have that ready and put that on a Late Night Red. So that shows you how prepared, how awesome we are here.
2 hours straight of Tim and Joe. What more could you want?
There's been a lot going on this weekend. Also, my son's a freshman in high school. This was his first homecoming dance. So that was really cool and surreal. And another point, wow, he's getting old, which means we're getting older. So just a lot going on. It's fun, but busy.
Yeah, for sure.
Before we get going, real quickly here, we've been talking about it for months here. Say hello to our good friends at SeatGeek. Again, if you guys aren't using SeatGeek, I don't know what you're doing. For those that are first-time users, download the app. Use our code Riverfront. One word, get $20 off your first order. They're the easiest to use ticketing platform out there. Every ticket price deal is rated for you, green, good, red, bad. Again, SeatGeek, $20 off your first SeatGeek order. Our code Riverfront. Now on to much, much sadder news. Did you watch the game, Tim?
I watched the first half, and when I realized it was over, I said, I got to cut the grass.
I really wish, again, because, you know, I feel indebted to actually watching the full game because I do, you know, I do cover it here.
Don't get me wrong, I listened to it when I was cutting the grass, but that was probably better than watching it.
Yeah, it probably would have been better to listen to Dan and Dave than the dorks that were on Fox. But
oh, yeah, Mark Torres is awful.
It was bad. They were kept trying to compare. There was one time where they were showing the playmakers going into commercial. They showed Ja'Marr Chase and DeAndre Hopkins saying superstar receivers. Okay, legit. Joe Mixon and Derrick Henry, superstar running backs. Okay, I don't know if Mixon really fits there, but he's been a really good running back. And then superstar quarterbacks, and they show Burrow and Tannehill. I'm like, Okay, Burrow's having a bad year because of injury, but no one has ever said Ryan Tannehill was a superstar quarterback. Even when he was at Texas A&M, like, no one ever said he was a superstar quarterback. So,
right, yeah. It's,
I don't like Fox broadcasting, but when you get your ass kicked 27-3, it doesn't – I don't care. It could have been the game that was the Andy's Room game on Disney. Did you get a chance to watch that, by the way?
I watched clips. So it was during church today. But so I watched some clips, and I thought it was awesome. I was loving everything about it.
It was entertaining. So, I mean, again, like, I was old for Toy Story when it came out. I was 14 or 15. It came out in 95. I turned 15. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, it's probably my third favorite trilogy, maybe my fourth favorite trilogy of all time.
Yes, it's awesome.
Four movies now. I mean, it's absolutely just fantastic movies. I'm glad my kids got into them. It was so cool, even with the weird glitches that sometimes the ball was randomly just moving.
It's just like Madden, you know?
Exactly. The players were just like randomly glitching in and out. There was someone who, it was before the first kickoff for the Falcons. It was like number 29, and they didn't have a name, and I forget what they had on the back. It might have said, not irrelevant, but it had some weird placeholder name on his uniform instead of the actual player's name. So that was pretty fantastic. Yeah, it really did seem like a PlayStation 1 game with the graphics. You had the first down marker. The claw from the alien guys was spotting the ball. So it was just a whole lot of fun. My daughter got mad because I turned it off at halftime. She wanted to see the Duke Kaboom halftime show.
God bless Duke Kaboom.
Yeah. So back to childish things. Bengals, I know you have some thoughts about Joe Burrow and Zach Taylor. So we'll go ahead and let you get that taken care of here at the top. I'm going to pull myself off the screen and just let solo you up here, Tim.
Sure. All right. Well, I'm going to go and put it like this, folks. I've never been a big Zach Taylor guy. Like, I know they went to a Super Bowl with him. I know they went to the AFC title last year, but there were a lot of things about him that just made me feel not very confident in him. And today brought all of that to a halt. So obviously Joe has talked about this every week on his show about just the irritation of not going for it on fourth down. I totally agree with that, especially with, you know, your defense is not stopping anybody, whatever. That stuff's kind of crazy. But today was the most irresponsible thing a head coach could have possibly done. This was a 4-score game in the fourth quarter, and Joe Burrow gives you the thumbs up to say, I'm going back out there for possession. You're the coach. You don't have to listen to him there. You can say, look, dude, like, live to fight another day. Let's get ready for Arizona next week. Let's figure it out. And then let's have a good week of practice and let's get ready for the Cardinals. Instead, they threw him out there. He takes a sack around the legs at one point, which is just unfathomable. And then I know Joe goes out and Joe in the post-game presser, Burrow says that, hey, it feels good. If Joe Burrow feels good, then he's totally full of shit. But if he feels good, then we have more problems than just a calf injury. But what really, really, really bugged me, and look, this was absolutely immature. This was absolutely amateur hour. Not only are they down 27-3, they put Burrow in there, they're chucking the ball still, and they're still not blocking for him. Alex Kappa looked like an owl the way his head was twisting with people running past him today. And then we now have the situation where, yeah, it was atrocious. It was god awful, wasn't it? And then Zach Taylor goes to a presser and says that they kept Joe in there because they were still trying to come back and win when they were down 4 scores in the fourth quarter on the road in Tennessee, where his offensive line wasn't blocking. They completely quit passing the ball and T. Higgins wasn't in the game. What did you prove there, Zach Taylor? And I joked about the same old Zach Taylor press conference. I about hit the nail on the head, didn't I? Oh, well, you know, it was a bad game. We got to be better. I got to be better. Things just, we didn't execute, and it's on me. And we have a week to get ready for Arizona and try to get things right. That is the same shit that we hear each and every week. And look, I understand it's 1-3. It's a long season, but I am not confident in this anymore. If Joe Burrow cannot move, this offense cannot execute. If Joe Burrow cannot move, you're cutting the playbook in half. If Joe Burrow cannot move, there is no need to keep him playing out there. So is the idea of tossing the year Let him rest, get ready for 2024. Maybe if T. Higgins is really gone, bring in Marvin Harrison Jr. That's a pipe dream, obviously, but I feel like that's a better situation at the point. Like, Joe Burrow is not here for a playoff appearance. Look, we're all pissed off about the Reds, right? Because they didn't make enough moves to go to the playoffs this year. Understandably, I'm in that boat. But this situation here is that this is the franchise. This is the future. This is the guy that just signed to the highest paid contract in NFL history. And you're throwing him out there like a piece of meat around a bunch of dogs just to take a huge ass beating. It's unacceptable. It's unprofessional. It's irresponsible. And it tells me everything I didn't know about this head coach, that this is a guy who is just a typical Zach Taylor. He'll never, ever get it right. They will not win a Super Bowl with him. He is David Blatt. David Blatt went to the finals with the Cavs. They fired him. They brought in Ty Lue. They won the championship. Zach Taylor is David Blatt.
How are you feeling? Are you feeling a little better?
You see, football fan. What was the year like that Zach Taylor was your offensive coordinator?
Tommy Tuberville was in charge. So honestly, it wasn't a great year, but they didn't have a great roster. Tommy Tuberville had quit several years beforehand and was planning his senatorial run while he was still coaching. So I don't.
What did Jed DeMuse used to always say to him? What did Jed used to always say to him? Where did Shane Larkin go to high school?
The only positive thing, I mean, again, Taylor was there for 1 year. The only positive thing he did was recruit Des Ritter, and then Fickle keep him around. But again, he was around for 1 year with the lame duck coach. So, you know, he didn't stand out. I like Zach Taylor as a motivator. I like him as a person.
Sure. I agree.
He's a terrible play caller.
Awful. Most predictable offense I've ever seen.
It's last week. They had success when they started to have all this pre-snap motion. I know Brian Callahan in his press conference in the middle of the week said, these are things like, it depends on matchups. Like, what are you trying to get out of the motion? Burrow likes to have everybody kind of static at the line of scrimmage so he can survey the field better. That's not working. At some point, you have to overrule. They literally just put the entire offense in Burrow's hands. And when you've got a 100% capability Burrow, awesome.
Perfect.
Like he's Peyton Manning. You like he's the offensive coordinator, but he's not 100%. He's trying to operate this offense. Like last week, everyone complained because he threw 50 some odd times. That's because he changed the player. There are all these RPOs that he held the ball and passed it. Like
You know what? A two-legged Joe Burrow? Hell yeah. Throw it 55 right. times. Go yeah. crazy.
Yeah. It's he doesn't want to feel like he's hobbled, doesn't want to feel like he's not 100%. But right now he's not responsible enough to put the offense in the right situation because he's not able to. And again, right. you can't go out. This isn't 1988. You can't go and run the ball 35 times. Bengals line isn't set up for that. I mean, these are supposedly pass blockers that they have. They didn't like this was a bad game. And we went in the one thing that the Titans had is a very, very strong defensive front.
Oh, for sure.
And it showed. Jeffrey Simmons is a dude. He's after Aaron Donald and TJ, you know, probably after Aaron Donald and Chris Jones, he's the third best interior defensive lineman. Not counting all the edge guys like Watt and Garrett and those guys, but and I mean Simmons is going to make plays and he's going to get hits on your quarterback. You understand that? You try to minimize that. Just everybody, and in the first half they just kept bringing blitz after blitz after blitz, and they weren't changing into the right. Like these were clear blitzes. Like, these weren't disguised. These were seven guys on the line of scrimmage. Safety lurking. Safety wasn't backing out. This wasn't trying to confuse Joe. This is bringing more guys than they have. And instead of bringing the tight end in, you know, into the backfield or, you know, option, you know, just moving to something else, hand, you know, changing it to a run, audible into this, it was, no, we're going to be stubborn. We're going to throw the ball and our quarterback's going to get hit or sacked.
You lose your number two wide receiver to a rib injury.
Yeah, I don't recall when that injury even happened. That was it was kind of just T. Higgins is going into the locker room and it's like, oh, I didn't even see him getting hit. I mean, he didn't 3 weeks out of four, he hasn't been really made any presence, you know, in any of the games outside of the Baltimore game. You kind of thought that he might have a good game because it was a home game, you know, more or less a home game for him because he's from Oak Ridge, Tennessee, which I don't know how where exactly Oak Ridge is, but I mean, I'm sure he had a lot of family in the stands. But yeah, I mean, he got hurt. Boyd went out for a little bit. Apparently, he just had a scab on his knee that just came off, and it hurt like hell, in his words, which is weird.
Yeah. We took a Jamar's conference in the post game.
Yeah, he was, I don't want to say prickly, but I mean, you can tell the frustration. These guys owned it. I appreciate them owning it and saying, you know, hey, listen, we didn't play well. They're not making excuses saying, oh, you know, we're going to come, you know, they got the better of us this day. It was, no, we played like crap and we need to play better. Okay, cool. Well, fix it.
Yeah.
I honestly think at this point that they need to sit Burrow until the bye.
I agree. I agree.
He's not playing well enough to justify him not resting it. My concern is, I mean, he rested it for 6 weeks in preseason and then came out, had that awful game in Cleveland that we attributed it to the weather. I don't think it really was the weather. Looking at
pretty warm in Tennessee today, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was damn near 90 degrees there. He's not right. And maybe this is just a mulligan year that, you know, unfortunately, it sometimes does happen. I mean, quarterback gets hurt and you have a crappy year. Just, you know, it's circumstances are out of your control. But
yeah, because you remember, you know, the thing we used to always hear all the time that would always annoy me just because it's like you obviously didn't watch the games was everyone always be like, after Carson Palmer hurt his knee injury, he just wasn't the same. And that was bullshit because he led the AFC in passing yards the next year.
Yeah.
He was still pretty tremendous. Carson Palmer fell down in his Cincinnati tenure when he hurt his elbow. Let's just go back to that year.
Yeah,
that's when things
2008.
Yeah. That was when the Carson Palmer downhill, and obviously he goes to Arizona and revitalizes his career and he's great. And that's great. I don't have ill will towards him like a lot of Bengals fans do. I understand why they do, but I'm not, you know, I'm pretty high on what he did for the franchise while he was here.
I appreciate what he did for the franchise. It's the comments and the piling, like
the pettiness.
Like, yeah, it's like, move on. I mean, you ended up having a third act of your career after, you know, after leaving the Raiders. Like, you had a decent career in Arizona and Bengals drafted, you know, they did pretty well with, you know, with however limited Andy Dalton was. I mean, they were fine with him. And I guess just move on. Like, he
feels pretty
good.
I feel pretty good if Andy Dalton was the backup for Joe Burrow right now.
Yeah, that would be nice.
I think I'd be a lot more like, I think the Bengals probably would too. If it was like, if we can't play Joe, we have him. And I know AJ McCarron's there and it's a totally different playbook than when he was here the last time. And I'm curious to see how that's going to be. Bitter's not a good look, Michael. I totally
agreed.
Get that.
Agreed.
But my point being earlier is that, like you said, Joe's not right. And it's obvious. And I know, you know, he sent this pressure today like, oh, it felt good. I appreciate the competitiveness in Joe Burrow. It's one of the reasons why I feel like a 100% Joe Burrow, if everything goes right, this team wins the Super Bowl at some point in his tenure. But this is not worth it. It's just not. I mean, like, look, I think if you go in the situation and yeah, on paper, these are winnable games, but they're not winnable games if you can't do what you do. I mean, you're Joe freaking Burrow. You guys have scored 6 points on the road this year because your offense cannot execute. It's just so irritating and it's so frustrating because, you know, in the play calling, like you said, Taylor's so pedestrian. Some of Burrow's decision making because of the play calling situation he's in, where it's 3rd and 10, he's having to drop down to Drew Sample, who loses a yard, and it's like, I don't know. Joe Mixon's running hard, and his stats look pretty good, so I don't know why they're just kind of giving up on him, but I don't know.
The run efficiency isn't there. He got 5 yards a pop this game, and the problem is he got 15 yards in one carry, but what happens in those next two carries that gives you the 5-yard average? He's had some like nice 10, 12-yard bursts, and then this has been all year. You know, he'll pop for 15, he'll pop for 10, you know, 9, 8, But then the next handful of carries, it's 1 yard stuffed at the line. And how much is that him? How much is that the blocking? Whatever. But it's the run game as itself. It just hasn't been efficient at all. Yeah, I wish like those runs seem to be available earlier in the games because everyone knows the Bengals are going to throw the goddamn ball like 75% of the time. But it's, I don't know. It's, I would rather see just run Jake Browning out there. He can at least throw.
You don't have to close your offense with him. In the situation with Joe Burrow right now, he's obviously not Joe Burrow. He'll never be Joe Burrow. And that's not what the Bengals are looking for here. But your playbook is full at that point. You have so many more chances because you're not hampered. Yeah. And if he sucks and Joe Burrow's still not ready, you've got two guys that you have two other quarterbacks in the system right now. And one of them has started in the NFL, be it as it may, whatever you want to call it. But I think Sydney's trying to hop on and her phone keeps, is it her phone keeps going in and out? Is that what it is? Do you see the same thing I see?
Yeah, it keeps popping out and like not connected. You there, Sydney?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
We can.
Are you driving?
I am not currently driving. I am okay. Parked.
I see a static background. That's
yeah, good.
I am not driving. No,
don't pod and drive, folks.
No, that's dangerous. So not going to do that, but I have parked. I was at the game today. Not
some
great.
Hattie B's at least.
Yeah, it was not great.
But did you get Hattie B's? You were in Nashville.
What is that?
The best freaking hot chicken alive?
I have never heard of it.
Oh, my friend. My friend.
Missed opportunity.
I've never imbibed.
Man. It's not Sheets, but what is?
Nothing.
Yeah. So, yes, you said you were at the game today.
Yeah.
It was painful.
It was.
Burrow had like there were a couple times when Burrow was on the sideline flexing because he got hit in the arm and shoulder a few times.
Yeah.
Once on the really weirdly, they initially called it a fumble when it was clearly a forward pass.
And yeah.
That was a weird. First, I have no idea why they would have like immediately called that a fumble to begin with because his arm was going forward and the ball went 15 yards in front of the line. But
I'm okay with that. I'm on the side of rule it a fumble and then fix it later. It's sort of my thought process always when it comes to stuff like that. Rule it a fumble, let people have their fun, and then if it not, you can fix it with replay later. But yeah, he did not look good there, grimacing, and I saw Jake Browning was warming up on the sidelines. So I got scared. Yeah, a couple of times. I was like, this was before it was like a really a blowout, and I was thinking they need to be putting Browning in. But yeah, it wasn't good. I very much agree with what y'all say as far as sitting him until the bye. Sit him until the bye, and then just let him rest and we'll see, because obviously letting him play isn't working. And I know we had him sit for like 6 weeks. Something has to help. You know? We need to do something.
Let's say they sit him. What's the cool hashtag? You know, there's like choke. There was like tank for Tua a couple of years ago with Joe, the Burrow draft.
Yeah.
There was like.
Who's for Lawrence, I think, the next year?
What's the cool one for Marvin Harrison Jr.? Like, because I'm not going to lie, if they lose T. Higgins and they have a bad year and they can get Marvin Harrison Jr., sign me the F up.
Yeah.
Right now, I think they've got the fifth spot right now. If the season
he'll be gone
today,
by then.
Probably. I mean, yeah, because the Bears would get Caleb and then immediately turn around and get, there you go.
There we go.
Mail it in for Marvin. Well done, Michael.
Yes, sir. Love it.
I really like that one.
Hashtagging it. If they lose to Arizona, mail it in for Marvin. Sign me up, Michael.
The problem is the Bears are going to get the number one. And well, actually, Carolina. I don't know. Is Carolina going to stay in the two spot? I mean, Bryce Young's injured. Like,
Bryce Young does not need Marvin Harrison Jr. He played today. Yeah, okay. He played today. Okay. CJ Stroud looked unbelievable today.
Yeah, our boy Carlos, I'm sure, was really excited about that.
Did not look good? Kenny Pickett.
Yes. Small hands.
I wonder how bad his knee injury is, but well, I mean, it's getting better quarterback play than we are, so I can't really.
Yeah, no kidding.
But just to me, the bigger concern than Burrow, because I mean, that's offense goes with Burrow. If Burrow isn't right, then I mean, they might be able to keep it along for a handful of games with Browning or
McCarron
or
Sinet.
Maybe not Reece Sinet, but you know, my issue is the defense. A little bit of a stretch here from the Titans offense of the Bengals. They had that the sack. Miles Murphy gets his first NFL sack. It's third down and five. On third and seven, they get a 38-yard pass to DeAndre Hopkins. Very next play, 24-yard pass to Josh Wiley, his first catch in the NFL. Yay, Bearcats. See, but...
yeah.
Not against my Bengals. Very next play, 13-yard touchdown pass. Bengals get the ball. Three and out, negative 1 yard on the drive. First play, incomplete pass. Second play, fumbled. Tyjae Spears gets the ball, fumbles it in the backfield, picks it up, totally reverses course, picks up 22 yards. Being aided by Ryan Tannehill downhill throwing blocks. One of them should have been a block in the back.
But that's what I knew. It wasn't their day.
Oh, absolutely.
That's the play that ended it to me. Watching him fumble it and then reverse course and pick up, like, what did you say, 32 yards?
22 yards.
Seeing him pick up good yardage off of a play that should have been a loss, if not a fumble to us. Like, that to me ended it. And then
it was only 10-3 at that point, though. Very next play was a 29-yard touchdown run by Henry, 17-3. Bengals go 5 and out. They picked up 22 yards. Next play, 16-yard run by Henry, 44-yard pass, incomplete pass, 7-yard pass to DeAndre Hopkins. And this is when the clock's running down in the second quarter. And then 14 yards, they are out of timeouts. They switch into a weird exotic look with Jeffrey Simmons as a fullback and Derrick Henry dot in the eye. Then they motioned Tannehill out wide. Simmons goes and takes kind of like a wing tight end. Derrick Henry takes a direct snap. Nobody thinks they're going to run the ball, because if they get tackled, half's over. They're going to throw the fucking ball. It's going to be a fucking pass. Nobody picks up the tight end. Josh Wiley's wide open all by himself in the middle of the end zone. Easy jump pass from Henry to Josh Wiley. First career touchdown pass. Great. Two catches in the game. Great for UC. Chris Moore had the 44-yard pass. Another great UC guy. But in those, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Look, I know you guys are UC fans.
12 plays by the Titans. They didn't. 21 points. And Bengals had
Josh Wiley should not be cooking NFL defenses.
Not his rookie year, no.
No, maybe a couple years down the line, but he shouldn't be catching wide open passes from the running back.
To be fair, anybody, any of the three of us could have caught that touchdown.
Yeah, pass. Nick Scott was like, Nick Scott's like in the backfield when he probably should have, it's, I'm Nick, with you. Yeah, the defense
Nick Scott
is obviously
the biggest, Nick Scott's the biggest Jordan Battle fan in the NFL. That's got to be the reason why he's playing so shitty. He wants to see Battle have a much more prominent role in the defense.
I'm confident he's going to turn it around because of Lou, but it's not looking good right now.
And that's the problem. It's getting absolutely just getting de-pantsed by offensive coordinators. This has happened now in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
The only game where the defense had a game plan and had answers, and that's only because they had a backup left tackle. Oh, by the way, the Titans had a backup left tackle, and Bengals got in. They got 3 sacks.
Didn't the Ravens have 3 backup offensive linemen?
Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
Linderbaum and Ronnie Stanley were out. Trey Hendrickson and
Notre Dame guys were out.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Usually it's good when Notre Dame guys aren't playing.
It would have been for the Bengals that day.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Should have been.
I love Lou Anarumo. I think he's a good defensive coordinator, but I'm trying to figure out what's going on this year that he's getting absolutely, like, just bull made out of him by these nobody offensive coordinators. And Todd Monken's been an offensive coordinator in the NFL for 6 weeks. Yeah. And I mean, absolutely ran circles around him with the Ravens. I don't even know the name. Tim Smith, I think, or Tim something, offensive coordinator for the Titans. They have one wide receiver, a mediocre to not very good quarterback, and a running back, and a couple backup offensive linemen. And they put up 27 points and couldn't be stopped in the second quarter.
Yeah, I mean, the Titans have taken quarterbacks back-to-back years in the first three rounds.
Yeah.
That's their confidence level in who they have playing quarterback right now.
And their confidence level in the guys that they took that they're still not playing now.
And it
seemed like a good idea that they took those quarterbacks, and it looked like, hey, here somewhat soon, you know.
We lost for a second, Sydney.
Oh, I'm sorry. But I was basically saying it looked like they took those quarterbacks for a reason, because, you know, Tannehill hadn't been looking that good. Last week, prior to us, he was atrocious. Yep. And it was starting to look like, all right, is it going to be Malik Willis time? Is Will Levis going to play in this game? Will Levis was a healthy scratch. But I don't know what's going on with Lou. After the last two seasons being so good and everyone talking about him being like a mad scientist and being like one of the best defensive coordinators in the league.
Yeah, like, and then should have had a head coaching job, but
yeah, exactly. I mean, we can't stop anybody. But yeah, like, I'm not confident even with Burrow playing that we can beat the Cardinals.
Yeah, it's concerning.
If they can't beat Josh Dobbs, and I know they're playing better than they were projected.
Yeah.
And there's no reason to play football the rest of the year.
We do have a good question here from David Hurst. I know it's still early. What gives you more hope, Joe, or the rest of the division? Neither. I mean, the division's good. I mean, what do you? I mean, yeah. I don't see how you can look at the AFC North and think that this is a positive thing to be playing in that division. I mean, the Steelers' offense is bad. Kenny Pickett's a not good quarterback, but their defense is frightening. TJ Watt is, you know, I mean, he's almost as good as his brother. Cam Hayward is fantastic. They've got pass rushing on the other side. They've got Minka Fitzpatrick, who, yeah, he's a bit of a douchebag, but he's a fantastic player. Like, they've got guys like those. It doesn't make me hopeful that they got to play them twice. They got to come back and play the Ravens, who Ravens I think are the class of the division, but the Browns defense is so fucking good.
Yeah.
It's, you know, and if Joe can't get his leg right after resting for 6 weeks, I don't see him getting able to get it. Because now my concern, and this I voiced this in the episode Garber and I did the other day for a regular show, my concern is it's messing up with his mechanics, because he can't generate his regular velocity, can't generate power from his lower body that he's used to. Is it jacking up his mechanics? Is it messing up his upper body trying to generate power? And is that why he's been off target on a lot of these, you know, even when he gets his calf right, is he going to be able to, mechanics going to be right to be accurate. And that's his calling card. It's concerning. I don't want to say throw the towel in, let's just get Joe healthy and then play the second half of the season to get him in a rhythm. But because they had the talent. I mean, even if they go 3-5 in the first half of the season.
Yeah, they can easily.
Yeah, they've got the talent to go, you know, to win six games in, you know, in the second half of the season, and, you know, sneak in at 9-7, or even go 7 and, you know, go up, you know, 7 whatever to you know, have 10 wins. So there's still a lot of questions, and it's I don't know where you go from here.
Well, he's out for a little while, apparently.
Yeah, he's got a fractured rib. I don't know how long he's going to be out for. Obviously we'll find that out in the next, probably by Wednesday, we'll have a little bit of a heads up.
Charlie Jones is out.
Yeah. I missed him getting put on IR. I knew he wasn't going to play this week, cause he missed all the practice, but,
yeah, so
you had TI on punt return and, fumbled a punt, which was concerning. So
yeah, Charlie Jones getting put on IR was sort of puzzling after all I'd heard, you know, all week was, you know, the hand's bothering him a little bit, you know, but he's probably going to play, you know, it's just a rest thing. And then all of a sudden we claim a linebacker because of Davis Gaither, and we put him on the IR. And it's like, okay, I thought he was going to play through that, play through the labrum, and we'll see. We'll see what happens with that.
I wonder if it's a tendon issue with his thumb. I didn't hear about a fracture or anything, but I wonder if it's a tendon
thing. Me neither.
And just, he was going to miss this week, maybe next week. So you sit him that third week, and with the bye week, you know, he's back with, you know. So I wonder if that's the only reason that he'd probably miss 2 weeks to begin with. So just sit him down, get an extra body in when he's more or less, I mean, he's just the punt returner in this offense, you know, for this team right now. Again, having one of your starters go out isn't ideal, but there's still depth behind them. I mean, T.I. is a useful piece. I think we're going to see our good buddy Yoshi brought in a little more with regulars on offense, which just because they need that the large body guy from the outside outside pattern. So
is this finally the chance Kwame Lassiter gets to be on the main roster?
I think he's been passed up by Shedrick Jackson.
Yeah.
Bo's, or as everyone, or as he will be known until he becomes a guy, Bo Jackson's nephew.
Mm-hmm.
That must be terrible. Like, no matter what he does, and like, he was a good receiver at Auburn, but he goes to Auburn where his dad is a fucking legend and a god.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe him calling him up to the regular, you know, calling him up to the 53 would exercise fully the Bo Jackson demons. Yeah, they got over the hump with winning the playoff games.
Against the Raiders.
Yeah, against the Raiders, no less. Calling him up and having Bo on the sidelines or on, you know, or in the stands, maybe that'll totally exercise, and that'll mean the Bengals are, you know, going to win the whole damn thing.
What is with this, like, or this thing? Like, last year they had Evander Holyfield's son. They have this.
Yeah.
I do know one thing, though. Today wasn't good enough. We got to be better. I got to be better. We have a great opportunity next week against Arizona.
Yeah, we do. I do have one question, though.
That's my Zach Taylor.
Right, exactly.
True. But is it 4 weeks or is it four games on IR?
I think it's 4 weeks.
I thought it was four games.
No, because I think just that screws with the schedule and everything. I'm pretty sure it's 4 weeks. I will
switch. Okay. I mean, real quickly. It's tomato tomatoes with a rookie wide receiver. That's, you know, so whatever. I just didn't know about that. But we'll see what we can get going this week. I mean, I feel like bringing in Adrian McCurran was a good move because he knows what it's like to come in and try to salvage a team who has high expectations when their star quarterback goes down. He did that for us, playing for Andy. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. I honestly hope Joe can just sit and get right, and we'll see what happens and go from there, and maybe mail it in for Marvin.
Mail it in for Marvin. I like it.
I would rather be batshit awful for Brock Bowers. First round tight end.
That's too long.
Yeah, first round tight ends never really pan out. I mean, look at all the stud tight ends. How many of them were drafted in the first round? And then look at Tyler Eifert. Look at Kyle Pitts, guys that actually were drafted in the first round. And I love me some Tyler Eifert, but I mean, and his issue wasn't performance; it was injuries. Kyle Pitts was, I mean, he was generational, and he was like the greatest thing ever to be to come out of the draft as a tight end. And he's got all the skills in the world, but he just hasn't been utilized as a pass catcher. Again, they're crazy run heavy offense, so maybe it's just a bad fit. Hey, let's make a trade because we need a tight end. I think maybe they're learning their lesson. You can't completely ignore a position that you field on 95% of the snaps. I mean, Bengals never go fully four wide tight end.
They've done it with right guard for like 30 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd like Alex Kappa was pretty good last year. Like, you look at his numbers, you look at his grades from PFF. I mean, you complain what you will about PFF scores. I get it, but all these other grading services and, you know, guys that do their own grading and everything, they had him ranked as a top quarter or, you know, right guard. Maybe it's just lingering, you know, just lingering injuries from him getting injured last year. I don't know. He hasn't been it this year. Ted Karras hasn't been very good at center. Again, I've never been a Cordell Volson guy. I think drafting an old prospect from a small school in a middle round is a terrible way to try to address the starting spot on your defensive or on your offensive line. He only has a starting spot because Jack Carman was, is, and ever will be terrible. You're absolutely right, Michael Sparks. Your legacy is mailing in for Marvin, and that is not a bad thing. That is not one bit something you need to that should be on your epithet on your tombstone.
Yep. So could be much worse.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know where we go from here. It's again, Cardinals aren't a good team, but they've shown life. That's kind of what the Rams were, and the Bengals handled the Rams pretty well. So I don't know. The Titans were supposed to be a relatively, I don't want to say easy game, but a game that they would have matched up well because they were so limited on offense and their defense. Yeah, has guys, but their linebackers aren't great. Their cornerbacks aren't fantastic. You know, you just quick passing game, get the ball before the defensive line hits you, and this was just bludgeoning. It was just disheartening. Yeah.
Embarrassing, irresponsible, unprofessional. If Joe's not right, do not put him on the field in San Francisco in 4 weeks.
Oh, good Lord, do not. No.
He will be eaten alive.
Yeah.
That's absolutely just asking for a major injury there. If he can't move, Fred Warner's licking his chops already. Nick Bosa, I mean, those guys are gonna absolutely
they're gonna tee off.
Yeah. Or that's a game you're like, he's nicked up. We're gonna let Jake Browning take this game. Just expect the L and hope for the best. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Or you can send him out there and be forced to mail it in for Marvin.
Yeah, but you don't want to. I'd rather Jake Browning get hit 15 times in a game, and then if you have to put in AJ McCarron and just go through the list of scrubs, you know, that are backing up and just have Burrow inactive that game, I'm cool with that. So, short of that, any other findings, final shots before we call it a wrap? Sydney, you got anything for us before we bolt?
I mean, really, my only thoughts are, please keep Joe Burrow healthy. I don't think Scott Satterfield is it. And sad the baseball season is over.
Same on all accounts. For the record, the Bearcats were going to struggle no matter if they brought in Nick Saban or not, because they lost half their roster through transfers and all the decommits and going to a better conference. That's why Fickle left, is because he didn't want to have to go, you know, fight the uphill battle of going to a bigger conference.
Are they doing it? How's he doing at Wisconsin? I haven't looked.
They're doing not pretty great. What are they? 4-2, 5-1.
Really?
I think so.
I'm curious now.
I think they're. Wisconsin never has a bad year. They're never like they're
right.
Always good. Never.
I mean, they had a bad year and fired one of their best coaches.
Oh yeah, so. Their losses to Washington State. They're 3-1.
3-1.
3-1.
Okay, that's why I thought they were bad, is because they lost to Washington State of all schools.
Wahoo's actually having a pretty good year.
This was I didn't know that.
They're 4-0.
And who could have saw that coming?
Ryan Leaf. The rotting corpse of Mike Leach, and that's probably it.
Yeah,
man.
Fair.
I mean, they. I guess Oregon State was undefeated before they beat them last week, 38-35. So we'll see. They got. I don't know. They don't play anyone for a couple weeks till they play Oregon. So anyway, we're not a Pac. We're not a Pac. Pac 12 podcast. Pac 12 is soon to no longer exist. So
Pac 2.
Miss Cleo, that's pretty good.
Call for a free reading.
Yeah. All right. Sandy, we appreciate you hopping on here. Tim, any final thoughts before we get out of here?
Yeah. Thank God Notre Dame's 4-1, and they could be 5-0, because otherwise I'd be pretty miserable. God, I need basketball season so bad. I'm so happy NBA preseason. Preseason is what I'm talking about, Joe. Starts this week.
We're talking preseason. You're going to have to give me a team. I haven't followed NBA, like, devoutly, probably since Michael left.
Yeah, there's a lot of really fun teams.
Yeah, the second time. Teams. I mean, I follow it as like, I know who's good. I know who's bad. I like this. I've always liked
if your kid's a Bucks fan, just join in.
Yeah, but I can't bandwagon on that. I mean, I was a Bulls fan, so I can't like the Bucks.
I'm a Bulls fan wearing a Cavs hat right now.
That's weird. I was going to comment on that.
It's a cool hat.
I love the Warriors style. Like I love the free flowing positionless basketball. I think it's just so much like the freedom and the versatility and all of that. Like I think that's a fun game to watch, but
okay. If you want a fun up and coming team, just like kind of putting it together, getting the pieces, have really good talent. The Pacers are a blast. I'm so excited to watch them play this year.
I need to get tickets. I need to figure out when they play the Bucks and go over to Indianapolis to take my son to a game. We were going to do it this year, but the game came on a Tuesday, and it's kind of hard to get a kid in junior high. Now he's a freshman in high school. It's hard to get him, you know, drive 2 hours to, you know, game midweek. So hopefully it'll be a weekend game, and I'll pay the stupid cost. I was create a new SeatGeek account and get $20 off by
there you using
go. Our code Riverfront.
That's the way to do it. Yeah. Well, cool, man. I guess I'll see you in like, 12 minutes?
That sounds about right. Got enough time to get a bite to eat and run to the bathroom. So outside of that, everybody, we will be back here on our show, regularly scheduled recording Wednesday. We'll drop in your feeds on Thursday morning. Hopefully we have some decent news to report about T. It was up in the air whether he's going to actually miss time. They're thinking he might because it's a fractured rib, but we shall see. I'm tempted to just sit anybody who has any nick. I mean, a bunch of guys kind of got nicked up this week. Cam Taylor-Britt got a nasty concussion, so I guarantee he's not going to be playing this week.
Yeah.
Outside of that, I'm tired of crappy season. This was supposed to be the culmination, everything coming together. The Bengals were going to go not undefeated, 15-2, 14-3, something, because they're that good of a team. They have all the talent if guys are at their, you know, at their, I didn't say apex, but just at their usual selves. So,
yeah, I agree.
Just sign. Oh, all right, folks. Until then, we'll see you guys. Hopefully, some of you guys over on Late Night Reds. You guys have a good night.
See y'all.